How would you define America's street drug problem in terms of what you have experienced with these other drugs around the world? That is to say, I mean, how do we look at the difference between drugs and medicines?
Well, I think our street drug problem is actually a spiritual crisis. I mean, it's a manifestation of our spiritual crisis. People turn to these substances. I mean, first of all, it's absolutely natural to seek altered states of consciousness. I mean, as Andrew Weil and many other people have pointed out, you know, kids, you know, will naturally whirl around or hold their breath, you know, or do anything they can to experience altered states of consciousness. So it seems to be a natural dispensation to being human that you want to have experiences of different states of consciousness. Now, when you sort of artificially legislate against that and create a culture where there's really no kind of opening to sort of spiritual or mystical realities, people will seek sort of degraded substitutes for those kind of experiences, and they'll take whatever they can get their hands on.
All right. So then, in terms of, like you had mentioned, one particular type of medicine that you had taken, which gave an intense 5 or 6 minute effect, right? What was the drug you mentioned?
Oh, yeah, I talked about dimethyltryptamine, or DMT.
Right. What's the difference between that, say, and how people describe the effects of crack, which is powerful but only lasts a few minutes?
Right. Well, I mean, that's interesting. I mean, first of all, you know, DMT, dimethyltryptamine, is a component in ayahuasca. And as I also mentioned, very interestingly, DMT is a component in our spinal cord, and it's a brain chemical that's very similar to melatonin and serotonin. It's a tryptamine. It may be secreted by the pineal gland. There's a very interesting book about it called DMT, the Spirit Molecule, by Dr. Rick Straussman, which I recommend. But yeah, when you extract DMT and smoke it, you're taking something that's been kind of synthetically treated, at least in this extraction. The difference, I mean, I've never done crack, so I can't really say what crack is like, but my understanding is that's more like a sudden rush of euphoria, kind of blinding sort of flood of pleasure to the pleasure sensors. The DMT experience is the hallucinogenic plunge into this incredibly hyper-real other reality. And you only spend a few minutes in this other reality, but it feels like a very long time, and you have the sense of these kind of super sentient entities or guardians or world makers who are kind of laughing at you and watching over you and playing with you. It's almost more than your brain can take or hold. So yeah, it's a deeply ecstatic in all senses of the term kind of experience of a different reality. I think it's very different than crack or coke or heroin.
And over time, I mean, are these substances, these medicines, as addictive as our street drugs?
No, none of the psychedelics are addictive at all. I mean, I've done DMT twice and probably be happy never to take it again. So, yeah, there doesn't seem to be much addictive potential for most of the psychedelic substances. I mean, there can be a psychological addiction, and I think that, once again, we have this kind of consumerist mindset. So anything that we explore, we tend to bring that mindset to, or if we get, you know, a certain reaction, we want to go and get another reaction right after. But I think that the way that, you know, these indigenous cultures use these substances and have used them safely for a really long time suggests that they just don't have the kind of negative ramifications of our street drugs.
Then what is different, or how are shamans oriented so differently that they might use these particular medicines over the course of time and don't end up like some crack addict, or end up like, you know, some person whose life is crushed because of the substances that they took?
Yeah, well, you really have to discriminate between substances becoming, you know, as I'm talking about transformation and consciousness, you know, becoming more conscious and more intelligent requires a deeper sort of understanding of subtleties. And really, when you look at these substances, you know, there's massive good work on it. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily trust what the government says, but there's a lot of research on psychedelics. And they're not addictive. They're not destructive. You know, they can be misused. You know, they can cause sort of negative episodes. You know, they can, you know, if people use them in unprotected situations, they can lead to people jumping out windows. I mean, it does happen. So that's why it's really interesting to think about exploring this more shamanic realm. And for me, it's like when you go into these indigenous cultures, you're actually connecting with a lineage, and that has a certain protective aspect to it also.
Sure.
So it's different than just tripping in your college campus or, you know, at home, you know, in a totally desacralized, secular context. And it's interesting because I just feel there has been this kind of, I've noted this kind of movement of more and more people going to South America and other cultures and really seeking out these experiences and really taking in powerful teachings from them.
Well, how do you do that? I mean, do you get off a plane and ask the cab driver to take you to a shaman? Or how do you begin to, for the average tourist, I mean, how is that sort of thing done?
Well, at this point, you probably could do that if you went to certain places in Peru and so on. But, you know, that's really, I don't like to offer advice about this kind of material because I feel it's really, the individual has to do their own work if they want to have these experiences. When there are tour groups, there's discussion boards about you know, San Pedro or ayahuasca. And, you know, this is it's just very much a part of South American culture that hasn't been destroyed, and the mestizos have adopted it. So yeah, people have to do their own research, and there are good ways to do it, and there are also stupid ways to do it. You know, so I would recommend that people be smart and look for the good ways.